I'm Holly Kernan, and you're listening to a special edition of Cross Currents from KALW News. We're following the story of how Ahmed al-Kubaisi was injured in Iraq and made his way to the United States as a refugee. Once he decided to come here, he had to apply for refugee status through the United Nations in Jordan. At that point, he was connected to Hesham al-Alusi, an Iraqi-American who lives here in the Bay Area. Al-Alusi started a foundation that offers assistance to refugees from around the world who are trying to put their lives back together. He remembers the first time he heard al-Kubaisi's story.
That was the 7th of July last year when he arrived in Auckland from Chicago, because Chicago from Amman, Jordan. Came down, he said, oh, we're going to need some bags for him. We didn't have enough of that. I could not understand. He said, bags what? He said, oh, these bags for urine, stuff like that. Said, oh, what's going on? He said, oh, well, he's, you know, he's connected. Oh, my God. From there on, I start realizing what's going on, you know. So we ran to the nearest store. We bought some stuff and bought other things and so on. And
tell me about the first time you met Ahmed.
At the airport. You know, arrived there, and he was always smiling. Seemed to be in good health. A little bit tired, but you know, he's been traveling for the last 20 hours or so, and seemed to be very happy for his arrival there. He's very pleasant personality, open. Never asked somebody for anything. He's always satisfied with what he got. I mean, right now, I know, and you know how the hospital food is, and this is not even one of the best hospitals, something like that. But he would never ask for anything, and we keep asking, tell us. He would never say anything. So we try to, you know, imagine what would somebody at this would eat and bring him things, and tell us what you like of these. He would not say anything like that. The other day, I cooked, for example, for him some broad beans with tomato sauce and some Iraqi rice and very white rice, you know. We at that day we tried to bring him some Iraqi kebabs and things like that, and he would never comment anything. Take them. I know he enjoys them very much, but if he's going to comment on it, that means we're going to do more of it. So he doesn't want to burden us with that. Hopefully, we are relieving him some of his pains and some of his what he lost. Really, he's physically very fit from the waist up. His muscle is well built. He does gymnastics. At this situation, he lifts weights and things like that, and he climbs on things. But from the waist down, it's very, you know, dilapidated and gone. Tell you the truth, I was extremely concerned that once he comes here, we may have some problems and headaches and misunderstandings and all of that.
Why?
Because of he's never been out of his little city. He's never been out of Amman, Jordan, where he lived for a year or 2 years, and now he's going to come to the States. I mean, that's another way of life, let's face it, you know. But he's very, very understanding, very open, and that helped a lot. That made our task very easy.
How angry is he that he was shot in the back by a U.S. soldier that was supposed to be protecting his country?
I expect him to be extremely angry, but he never showed any anger so far. He probably was angry years ago. Not now.
And Ahmed's story is just one of, like you say, millions of refugees now from Iraq. What do you think it means?
It means that the level of devastation that happened to this country is not have been fathomed yet. We really can imagine things, but I think it's much, much deeper than that. There are people, you know, for example, because of his personality, and somebody was helping him to come the first time from Iraq to Jordan, he was able to do this. There are people who can't even get to Jordan or get out of their own village or city. Guess what's going to happen to them? They're just going to rot and die in their place without anybody hearing them, me or you or anyone else. And I'm sure there's millions like that. Where are they? They're probably either gone or on their way out.
You're listening to Cross Currents. I'm Holly Kernan, and I'm speaking with Dr. Hesham Alalusi, who's the president of the Alalusi Foundation. And we're talking about the legacy of the U.S.-Iraq war and occupation. What do you think is going to happen next in Iraq? There's a lot of fighting going on still. A lot of violence continues to happen post-U.S. occupation. Where do you see hope?
The hope is really rather dim right now, especially with what's going on with Syria and others. And I'm afraid it's going to be a very long period of turmoil. Things got to boil down to something else and other and different than what we have right now. This is going to be a very, very long boiling until we get some point. What's happening in the west part of Iraq, in the so-called the Anbar, Fallujah, and Ramadi, for example, it's just unbelievable. It's just, the area is being dismantled. And there's many, many other areas like that. So where is the country heading?
Where do you think it's heading?
I think it's heading to much more chaos. Much more... there's no civil war in there because all these people are very much related to each other. And they would not fight among themselves, but there's all this polarization, religious and sectarian and so on. So that's, the country is heading towards that. You know, each group is going to fight the other group.
Which usually means more refugees, more displaced people, more wounded people.
Very much so.
So what keeps you an optimist moving forward? What feeds you?
My beliefs. Yeah, I believe that we have to do something good. We have to not give up. And whatever we are doing, if we believe is good, we should continue it.